Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I am an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com. and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie, and I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oils sometimes.
Hello, this is Bob J. Kale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot. With a tight illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. And here we are again. It is Monday, September the 19th, 2022. My name is Clyde J. Kale, and you are listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 165. I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Constance.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, y'all.
Welcome to the podcast. For our listeners, please visit www.talkartpodcast.com. That's talkartpodcast.com. And we have some recommended video links, very informative. We're going to talk about using various softwares for our art practice. And we'll mention some of our favorites. And there's also some short videos there and the top five photo editing software for 2022. And there's a video that talks about Photoshop versus the GIMP, the G-I-M-P, you know, graphic software. And just some good information, especially for an artist who is starting out, because let's face it, for your art career, you have to be on the internet and you have to learn proper photographing of your artwork, and then the graphic software you use to manipulate to get the photos just right before upload them to a website or to a service that you want to use. So, Diane, what is some of your favorite photographic software that you use?
Well, I started out using GIMP, but I didn't like it. I didn't find it very user-friendly. I actually have a book around here somewhere on how to use the thing, because I couldn't get anywhere on that. But I did end up going and getting Photoshop. And this is before they changed it over to a subscription-based product. So I have the last version of the ones that you could actually buy, you know, purchase. So I use that a lot. And I did take some classes on how to use Photoshop and, well, all the Adobe products, Illustrator and the other things. So it's not something that you can pick up very easily a lot of times, but
yep.
Once you get the hang of it, it is pretty user-friendly, I think, once you learn the way everything's set up and how it all works. That's the one I use the most. there's Canva. They've come out with a photo editor on Canva now. And that's a little bit more user-friendly. It's more, you can't do as much in there, but it does allow you to do some things. And it's good for making, like, flyers or that kind of thing. Not so much your artwork, but it does some things. So there's so many programs out now, you know, to do different things, and you just have to experiment and try different ones and see which one will work the best and do what you want it to do without you struggling and wanting to throw your computer out the window. Some of them are really complicated. It does take a little while to get the hang of them. But
Constance, what about you? You've got some programs you use? Or?
I started out using Photoscape on my laptop. I don't have it on the iPad or the phone, but that's, you know, when I photograph jewelry and I want to get in and, you know, doctor up the photograph and get it really close up and stuff. That to me seemed like the easiest one. Plus you could do like a revolving picture thing with that too. So I don't know exactly what it's called, but
like a slideshow or.
Yeah, a slideshow. That's it. Thanks. But I would do like slideshows either with my art or the jewelry and put it on Facebook so that, you know, and I'd run campaigns on Facebook, and that's how I used the software to make those up and put them in with photographs for the campaign.
Well, I'm a GIMP user, and the reason why I'm a GIMP user was because I didn't have money to buy Photoshop. I had, for the longest time, several years ago, Diane says Photoshop, you bought the program. I had a bootleg copy, an illegal copy that was given by a friend. Okay. So I started years ago. I mean, we're talking 2001, 2000, somewhere like that. Yeah. And I used it for a while. I had difficulty using it. And then Adobe, you know, they came out with a brand new version or whatever, and they must have knew a lot of people was using their illegal because it completely handicapped and broke my version. It would not
work. Yeah, they said in that one video, it said that they did that. Yeah.
So I, what am I going to use? You know, well, then I found out about the GIMP. And so I started using the GIMP, and I adapted to it quite well. It is very intimidating, especially if you've never done any kind of photo editing at all, because it gives you a whole bunch. It gives you everything you might want to think of, you know, to use. And I still, to this day, don't use all of the features that it offers. There's only a specific task that I need and that I use it for. And it works just great. One of the videos I selected, when it shows you, this is the top five free photo editing softwares for 2022. And what I found fascinating is, and my recommendation to any of our artist listeners, spend a lot of money on Photoshop courses or photo editing books and whatnot. Save your money. Try some of these free programs and start out with something very, very simple. What will make sense to you is, as you progress, a lot of the terminology, burnishing, was one term that comes up a lot, smudging, a dodger, and all of these different kinds of terminologies that will come across are all available with the GIMP and with the Photoshop, either way you go. And it will make sense because, when you start out with the early, you know, easier, you know, type programs and work your way up when you need to do something a little more sophisticated that program doesn't offer. And of course, the GIMP is 100% cost-free. It's what they call open source, you know, software. Some of the videos that I I recommended this list, the Photoshop versus the GIMP, which is a very good comparison. You know, a lot of what Photoshop offers, the GIMP offers, and some things that the GIMP does that the Photoshop doesn't offer. So there's, you know, a really good comparison. And I can, you know, fiddle around with the photograph to get a nice, clean, you know, clean image. That doesn't mean that it works every time. Depending on the oil paintings are the worst. They are the most difficult to photograph. I have to sometimes take from 15 to 20 different shots and adjust the lighting to get everything, you know, just right. But this is something, you know, I do it. I play around with it. That's why I like the video recommendation from Rafi. Before we get started, though, let's take a break for our sponsor, and then we'll be right back. This is Clyde J. Kale. You know, the holidays is coming fast, and it's time to get that special gift for that special person. How about a really unique gift of original art on home decor products? You know, a clock, a pillow, a tote bag, something of that nature would be fantastic with some lovely art. Please visit www.mpirshop.com. That's mpirshop.com. Various designs of original art placed on the various home decor products. Again, that's www.mpirshop.com. That's mpirshop.com. To the podcast. You are listening to episode 165 for September the 19th, 2022. And like I said, Diane, what did you think about the tips that Rafi presented about photographing your artwork?
Yeah, I think I knew most of what he said. You have to really take a lot of time to line your camera or your phone, whatever you're using, up with your painting so that they're both on the same angle, the same plane. That helps a lot. And then with the oil paintings, they are the worst because they have so many shiny areas.
Especially if you varnish it before you do it.
Yeah, trying to take your photos so you don't get glare spots on your paintings is really tough, but you really do have to have a lot of lights around that are diffused. And try to have an even light over the whole thing in order to get a good photo. And it does take a lot of photos to get a good photo.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think it would, but it does. I've tried doing it in the studio with lights, with the diffusers, and taking it outside, doing it in the shade. But it's really difficult to control those lights so they're not like bouncing off different parts of the painting without making shiny spots.
Constance said, Rafi didn't mention it, but Constance said, varnish. Don't varnish your painting before you take your photograph because
it's so shiny. Depending on what varnish you use. Yeah, I like to use a shiny varnish, so
you do,
and it can make it difficult to take a photograph of it afterwards.
I learned that lesson. I was like, oh my God, there was nothing I could do. I had glare every time. And something else I found out, because oil paint, when it's wet, it has a bit of a glare to it. But then when it's dry, that glare diminishes a little bit. And what I was doing was right after I got done my painting, got my painting finished, I got to get so excited because I want to take a picture of it, you know, take a photograph and then put it up on Facebook, you know, and I could not get, you know, a good shot. So I just control my emotions and I give it a couple days to dry. And I found out that I'm able to get a better photograph with a little bit less glare. I don't get as much glare on it as when it's absolutely wet. It's prone to accident when it's absolutely wet because you have to, depending on the size of the, you know, the canvas, you have to kind of angle it. It's good to kind of have it point sitting almost straight up. And I don't know how many times I have dropped the painting. It's dropped face down
Oh, that's horrible.
That's
That's
what
why I dropped
it's nice
my
to do
son
it
in
on
the
your.
parking lot once.
Yeah, it's nice to have them on your easel if you have a clamp at the top so you can angle it downwards a little bit
Yeah.
so you don't get some of that glare.
Yep.
But then you have to remember to put your camera the same way or your
Right. But
phone
the
the
thing
same
about
direction.
the iPhone, which I really like that they've improved on it so much, is they have the balancing thing where if you took a crooked photograph, you can move it front and back from side to side and from bottom to bottom and front level, vertically. So there's like three different ways you can straighten the painting back out and then crop it.
Well,
That's one of the places I've been taking paintings photographs with.
that I sometimes use. I don't use it on every image, but some images is absolutely necessary. The because I'm on a on the Windows, Windows laptop on Windows 10, and the version of the video viewer that is on there, it has an editing portion, and it has a what's called a straightening feature where you can actually straighten the image up, a little bit. And it also has a you can adjust the lighting or you can adjust the clarity. And I will do that first before loading it into GIMP. And then when I load it into GIMP, I can make further adjustments if necessary. A lot of times I don't have after I just use just the Windows Viewer program and it's good enough. It actually.
Yeah, you just have to figure out what way works best for you. Is different, and the way they go after straightening things up after they take the photograph. There's lots of good tools out there now. First, before we had to use slides, but
That
still
was a
nowadays,
nightmare. That was a nightmare to do photos and slides. Oh my God.
but
Trying to get them square.
you didn't know what you had done until you got it back, And but anyway, that's what's great about the phone and stuff now. It just really does such a wonderful job of being able to edit. Just even, on the phone without using a program of some sort, just the phone does it,
If you if you've got a lot of money, you can always pay a professional photographer to to take your photographs.
That hasn't happened yet.
Get rather expensive, really, really expensive, So it's a good idea to learn, to learn these things yourself. And this is part of the art career, part of being an artist, and getting your work out there. You have to be able to get to learn how to take good photographs of your artwork. And there's no one way it's perfect. Like, Raffi, he offered some tips and his, and when he first started, he said, these are not necessarily the only way. These are what I've learned as I've
Yeah,
practiced.
what works for him.
And that's where I'm coming from too. I brag about use again. Well, it works for me. I'm used to it. I know because long before I started, creating visual art, I created digital art. And I used to create a lot of the what we used to be called the photo albums of the my radio programs that I played on my internet radio station, and I would put them on CD sometimes, those CDs, and it would have to have a an image. So I created the digital. I did the digital artwork. The GIMP was great for that. So I learned as a result, I had to learn how to use it a little more advanced features than than what's really needed for photo editing. But it's all a learn as you go, and you really
Trial and error, you just have to figure it out. It's
absolutely trial and error and
I mean, you didn't learn to paint overnight, so you're not going to learn how to use all that stuff overnight either.
so it's good to and it's good to see and hear what other people are doing because it may give you an idea and may help you shortcut your process. Like I have a, like I went through and described, taking a photograph with, with a GIMP. That's my process I have developed. I got it all down. One, two, three, boom. I sit there, I automatically take between 5 and 15 photographs. I just do it. If it's an oil paint, especially now the watercolors are far more easier. You lay the thing flat and make sure you don't have any shadow, which sometimes does mess up. I'll get myself into I'm real tall and holding the image over and trying and then I'll look at it afterwards and say, oh, I got to do it again because I got a shadow of my arm,
Yeah.
going across.
Now with the jewelry, I have a tent like Raffi showed, but it's bigger. And then I have all the lights on the outside of it, and I turn all those on. And then when I do, I usually just do jewelry in there. So I put, I have the, can take them flat or whatever. But then also I have this little, you put them in your kitchen shelves. There's this wire thing that you put dishes on to give you more room if your cabinets are too big. I use that. I cut one of the rungs out of it and I put it over the jewelry and I put the camera on it and get it lined up. And then I take the photograph. So that gives you a really nice still close up of what you're doing, you know, with jewelry.
Next time, like a tripod, overhead tripod.
Yeah.
I have a tripod most of the time with the oil paints, I have to use a tripod because it has to be really steady. So I don't get any blur. With other colors, I've been able to get by quite well without, you know, I hold the camera in my hand, you know, but, it's whatever works for you. You know, you have to, you know, experiment, you know, like I said, I've got my process down to where, take the photos, go through, look and, you know, review them on the computer and see which one seems to be the best, process it, done. And then, of course, you know, I have to make usually anywhere between 3 and 4 different versions that are different resolution or different, pixel resolutions, you know, so that for the different sites. Because, you know, really high resolution, like a, depending on how many colors is the image, a 8,500 pixels by 6,000, whatever, you know, will be a 30 to 40 megabyte file. Well, Fine Art America, your files can only be 25 megabytes. So that means I have to take drop that resolution. Another version. So, and
yeah, save as. I usually do save as.
That's when it gets complicated. That's one of the things that it's really good to be very organized as far as your images go. I have separate folders for the different sizes. So I have, you know, each version of whatever size I need for the different websites in each folder. So I have them all separated. So if I need to put something on, you know, a certain site, I know it's in that folder and it's already done. Like,
yep.
So it's really important to do that because it gets really confusing if you don't have them work somehow.
With really Etsy too, you have to they want you to have 8 to 10 photographs. And now the second one that you move over to look at is a moving video of whatever the product is. I haven't gotten all of my stuff changed over like that either. So I need to work on that. I just haven't. But, you know, when you have like 200 pieces of jewelry, that's a lot of work. Multiply it by 10.
Yeah.
That's how many photographs you have to take to eventually.
Another good thing to remember is too, like if you're taking photos on your phone or on a camera and you're looking at them on that little screen on there and they look fine, don't take anything down yet. Upload them onto your computer and look at them on your computer on the bigger screen.
Yep.
And you'll see that there's like, you'll see stuff on the, you know, larger picture that, okay, I need to take some more pictures of that painting.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times what'll happen after I upload it to Instagram, I can notice a little fine white line at the top where I didn't quite cut all of the outside border off before because I try to keep as much of the photograph of the painting as I can, you know. So,
also a difference between computer screens. I have two computers. The computer that I process them on is the laptop, the current one that we do the Zoom on because it has the best camera and whatnot. And it will look fine. But then when I transfer it over to the other computer that I use to upload to the site, a lot of times it's darker or the color is a little bit bright, you know? So I was like, I have a tendency. I want to take it back and brighten it up a little bit, you know, where it looks a little bit too bright on this computer, but it looks great on the other computer. So I kind of adjust, you know.
Yeah, there's ways of adjusting your screen so that they're similar, or you know, you want them as close as you can. You can change the settings in the and the colors and stuff, so they align.
Yeah.
But with different age computers, you don't always have those options. So.
Yeah. See, and that's what the laptop is a fairly new version.
Yeah.
The desktop is an older version. So, yeah, I've tried that, Diane, and it doesn't seem to work and everything. Another thing I noticed that depends on the lighting that I use. Luckily, I have one of these lights that can give me different kinds of light, either daylight and evening and different tints. Depends on with my camera. When I have a lot of yellow in the image, it has a slight green tint to it, depending on the light that I use. So I usually have to be conscious to make sure I change the light.
The other thing too, if you're printing stuff, the printer uses a different, it uses the CMYK instead of the RGB. And so you have different colors. So that's something else if you're thinking about printing your paintings that you have to keep in mind.
It can get
complicated.
It can. But that's all stuff you have to learn a little bit at a time. You just have to start doing it, and then you'll start getting better and better at it as you do it.
You learn as you need. That's a big thing. Things that I have learned how to do, as I needed it, I learned. Like when I started back in 6 years ago, and I had was Fine Art America. I didn't have any other sites. Well, I didn't have a camera. I had the graphics software and everything. So what I was doing, my first, and they were so horrible. My first five images, I would go to the photo department of Walmart. And there was a lady there. I had the idea of I could scan the art. Well, the scanner, the 14 by 15 was too big for the scanner. So cause that's all I was doing was watercolors then, and the lady that ran the Photoshop, she would use a camera and would take the pictures for me. And she was a little short lady. One time she had to stood up on a chair and leaned way over. And people were looking like, what are those people doing? Yeah. And then I got, cause she couldn't, give them to me for free. So she would transfer them to a CD, and I would pay. And I think I paid like $5 or whatever for 10 images or something like, photographs. And that's how I got my first few images, And then when I brought them home and looked at them, some of them were good. Some of them were like, oh, I can do it again.
It's almost like the film version of all of that, That was terrible. I mean, I wasted more film taking photographs and paying for at the drugstore. When you pick up your photographs, first thing you do is pull them out and look at them, and you go, oh, dang, there's not a good one in here. Like $5, a long time ago, it was like $5 to get a rolled, processed, So yeah.
After a while, she said, I don't mind doing this for you, but this is going to get expensive. Once you buy a camera. And I said, what? I don't even know what kind of camera to buy, So they had all the different cameras. So I took her recommendation. The current camera I have, I took her recommendations, and it cost me like $160, and it was, and it's the same one I've used all along, it's perfect, for what I do. What was so interesting was this lady. She retired, from Walmart, and follows me on Facebook, and she's one of my biggest fans. She always says, "I remember when you started." But she comments on just about every single posting that I put up. But she's so proud that she was in the beginning. She saw when I started my art career. She was there. But that's how I started until I got my own camera, started, processing stuff. But it's been like our Paul Klein always says, baby steps. I've taken baby steps, one step at a time. All right. We got anything else to add to this conversation? I think we're about ready to wrap it up.
No, that's about it.
All right. For our listeners, go to, please visit www.talkartpodcast.com, talkartpodcast.com. There are some very informative short videos there to help you decide what kind of photo editing software you need, and some tips on how to photograph your artwork and to get you started. I'm going to say you have been listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 165. For September the 19th, 2022, I'm going to say goodnight to Diane and Constance.
Goodnight, Clyde. Goodnight, Constance. Goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight, Clyde. Goodnight, Diane. Goodnight, y'all. And thanks for listening.
I second that. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Until next week. Bye.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson and Clyde J. Kim. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends Podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.